vibrant downtown Eastside community of Vancouver. Like Michael Frante sings, we are listener-supported. CFRO 102.7 FM, the People's Station.
Never pre-recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media distorted. We come and listen and support it.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio. I am your host, Kelly, and we also have with us co-hosting today,
David Maidman.
Hi, David. Third week in a row.
There you go, Kelly.
So, this is Sound Resistance. Tomorrow's Buy Nothing Today. Today is the U.S. Thanksgiving. We have lots to talk about as much as I'd like to just shut up. First out, before we start anything, we're going to say hi to Pickle Monster, our biggest fans, and Brookles, the Tickle Monster, and the Ice Cream Man. Brookles, the Tickle Monster, the Ice Cream Man, Pickle Table Party, number one fans. So shouts out to them.
Shouts out to them.
Let's just play a song. For them.
For them.
The start of Sound Resistance.
Do you know what you're fighting for?
Time. When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
You to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet?
Do you know what you're fighting for?
We're taking y'all all the way underground.
Underground. Yeah. Underground.
We sing a plane with y'all.
With y'all.
Yeah. This is real hardcore hip hop.
Cynicism rocks the vine, in a time where violence blocks the sunshine. Lifetimes go by in a flash, in a search for love, in a search for cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon. Everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune. Or be the backbone of a rebel platoon. It's too soon to step out of line. You might get laughed at, you might get fined, but you pass the buck or pass the baton. But you can't pass the police or the Pentagon, the IRS or the upper echelon. I think it's time to make a move on the contradiction. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shout. Give the corporations a complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shout. Give the corporations a complication. Slang guns when they 6 years old, summer, they're men done. like an early sunroom. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come. Keep the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come. Keep the corporations of complication.
Hello, everybody. You are back with us on Sound Resistance 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio. That was Michael Ferrante, Rock the Nation. I think I want to send that one out to Doug.
Yeah, that was a great cut. Great cut by Michael Ferrante.
It reminds me of him.
Booging around the hula hoop.
Yeah. So, lots going on, David. We could talk about so many things. But just let me say, you know, when we're last week, when I all had issues when I got here, some virus or something I had, it was dormant. Waiting. It was making me crazy. I was sick all week, and I don't really ever get sick.
Did you take lots of echinacea?
Nothing.
No? 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 Echinacea and vitamin C. Come on, Kelly.
Well, I mean, I was okay. I was just a stuffy head, but I was kind of mental. That kind of sick. But I mean, it was some sort of something.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe it was weather-related. I mean, certainly hasn't been a lot in the weather to really brighten our days, although we did get a little bit of sun out in New West there this morning.
So, water, rain, water. I was writing the word water down, and started talking about the water.
Well, one thing against me, I mean, I used to live in Kamloops many years ago, and, you know, every spring they'd get the runoff because of all the logging in the watersheds. I mean, that's why the water's like it is, you know, would have been fine if we had left nature alone, but we decided that we could make lots of money logging in the watershed, so we did. And that's why we get the dirty water that we can't drink, but we used to drink it in Kamloops. I don't know what the problem is here. I think guys on the coast are wimps or something.
No, so, you know, it's a big push for corporations to purchase bottled water. So after this, it really should bring to people's minds the question of capitalizing on water. You know, it's just bottled, but what are we buying? The bottle? The water? What are we buying? Getting the product to the stores in a bottle? What's the product? How can we sell water? When there's a water shortage, or when there's no shortage, but when there's a water advisory, and I think the water's totally fine, drop some iodine in it, apparently, you know, and have a drink. But, so, you know, it's a sort of a fear-induced thing. But in the meantime, it's also raising awareness that maybe there should be no profit made on water, because shouldn't everybody have access to water?
I agree totally, Kelly. And here's one for you. Doesn't the Canadian Armed Forces have water purification units that they send out to different missions in Third World? Couldn't they be operating, say, one like that down on the downtown east side so that people could get free source of drinking water?
Well, probably, but I just don't even think it should be allowed for sale in stores. But, yeah, they did that.
You know, and I mean, you know, that
would be a great idea.
And I think a lot of Canadians would rather see their tax dollar, you know, defending Canada. Well, here we've got a situation in Vancouver that, you know, almost 1 million people don't have potable water. Where's the armed forces? Why are they running around chasing Osama in Afghanistan?
Well, we do. Right. Why are we doing that? That's crazy shit. I don't know why we're doing that. So here's the thing. Now we come up to this. The news of the day is this, that we either... we can either send more troops to Afghanistan, remind me why we're there, somebody, or we can have security at the Olympics. There's only money for one.
Oh, no. What's it going to be?
What are we buying in either case? How about neither?
There you go. I agree, you know.
That's a waste of money.
Well, secure,
save the whales.
Secure,
then.
If you want security, spend the money on you know, giving people clean water in other parts of the world and something to live for, so they're not turning to terrorism. That's how you defeat terrorism.
But no, really, what is that? That's a whole other huge issue. That's pretty heavy for the day.
There you go.
But and now today's Thanksgiving in the United States.
Yep.
And
congratulations to everybody down there.
For sure, we should definitely be grateful for everything we have. Mm-hmm. But having a traditional look at what happened with Christopher Columbus, you know, naming all the land in the Queen's name.
Well, this is true. I mean, let's think back to the first Thanksgiving. I mean, according to legend, wasn't it the local Aboriginal people came and saved these poor, straggly white European people from starvation by sharing their food, and then afterwards, I think the white people went out and slaughtered the Aboriginal people and took their land. So
Nowadays, I'm trying to reframe everything in a positive way.
Well, there you go.
I don't know how to reframe that in a positive way.
In a positive way, the fact that, you know, despite
well, it's life and evolution and cultures coming together, I understand that. But in the way of capitalism, it's terrible.
Well,
the cultures coming together is a genocide sort of happened. And it still sort of happens in a way that people aren't aware, you know.
Well, I think the thing is, I mean, in my mind, I believe in the survival of the... I believe that we will survive. I mean, you know, the Earth has been here for billions of years. It'll be here for billions of years afterwards. And I think one of the things that will help us survive is by making alliances with Aboriginal people, third world people, people that live on the margins of society because they know how to survive on very little. You know, actually, I heard Patrick Ali. He used to be a minister in Jean Bertrand Aristide's government. And he gave a speech here in Vancouver, and he said, like, you people up here could learn a lot from us Haitians because we know how to make do with so little. And you know, when you think about it, he's absolutely right.
So we could use less. That'd be nice.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Consume less, but or consume properly. So tomorrow's Buy Nothing Day. Last year we had somebody in from Adbusters, and then the person who's had this concept of Buy Nothing Day ended up calling in, and then, you know, apparently it started as a Buy Nothing Week. Also, there was the concept of a Buy Nothing Week, but that seemed overwhelming for people. So we have to realize how much we shop, I guess.
Especially in North America is probably too much because, you know, we don't go out and stock up. I mean, in some ways we used to do that. You know, you'd make one trip to the store, you know, a week, and that would be shopping day.
I bet you the pickle party people aren't listening anymore.
No? Well, maybe we should play another song for the pickle party people. What do you think?
Well, Joey hasn't been here in 3 weeks. I don't know what he's doing. I think he'll be back next week. I'm burning out. I'm feeling a little reclusive. I'm feeling like withdrawing from the world. Even these beautiful radio shows and just going into a little pod, a cocoon for a while and trying to, you know, still myself and then maybe emerge with some harmony.
Well, I don't know. I think the harmony's out there. You just have to connect to it. That's all.
Right. By stilling myself. I just was talking to somebody on the bus, and he said that was crazy. That was just a terrible thing.
Well, you have to understand the Hollywood pod imagery. Think Matrix. Think Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Pods don't really. In when you start talking to people about
pods, well, I mean like metaphysical.
Oh, metaphysical sort of, pod. You know. See, that's the trouble though. When you start
my own inner pod, but I actually want to move. I just feel like going somewhere. I think we need to play a song, so I may not be here next week, but Joey should be back. But in the meantime, it's been a few weeks since you've heard from him, so let's play one of his songs.
Okay, and you're listening to Sound Resistance on CFRO 102.7.
And this is Peterborough's Poverty Problem.
Squad, plan a lot so you can fuck with the law.
Thanks for that one, Joey. That was a great song.
It's funny. Like, I remember the image I grew up with of Peterborough was always sort of this gateway to the Halliburton cottage country and the lake country and all that, and the Liflock, and, you know, nice tourist town. And Joey certainly knows the other side of the town, that's for sure.
Yes, good way to... It's good to raise awareness. Sometimes we don't want to face all these issues. This show is called Sound Resistance, and that title is kind of ironic to me. I like it. It's good.
Well, speaking of resistance, Kelly, I was by the downtown Eastside Women's Center just before I came in, and that's at the corner of Columbia and Cordova. So they're still looking for support. So if anybody just wants to drop by and, you know, let them know that they have your support. And
right. So myself, I'm trying not to resist everything so much anymore, but more of raising awareness. But because that's the first step, I guess, right? And so maybe it's not always the most pleasant thing that we... Because once we become aware of something, we kind of, in a sense, either become responsible for it or we're apathetic about it. Maybe it's something that is worthy of being apathetic about. Maybe it's not important and it'll work itself out. But there's a lot of things out there that once we're aware of them, in some sense, are responsible. So a lot of times people don't want to know. So to the people that are listening out there, I know sometimes we're preaching to the converted already, because all of our listeners are supporting non-corporate media and doing all lovely things already, but, you know, and then maybe the odd person tunes in and just takes a listen or something, and, well, lots of people tune in. There's lots of great people tuning in. But just to keep raising awareness, but I'm trying to do it in a positive way. That's where I'm at right now.
How?
I don't know. Music is a great medium to do that. People, there's many creative, beautiful ways to do that. So when people can express themselves creatively too, you know. Oh, even out here, there's a lot of little art galleries downtown here.
Actually, on my way here, I saw a little, I don't know, it's sort of like an antique store on Columbia, just between Pender and Hastings.
Hmm.
So
a little antique?
Yeah, check it out. It's just down the street there. And, you know, I didn't go in, but she's got all kinds of funky little things there, like not really what you expect to see on Columbia Street, but... It was a nice-looking little shop she had going for herself.
I wonder. I've been in some of those shops, and then I just wonder where the stuff came from.
Oh, I see. No, it didn't kind of look like that, but...
Even if it's good stuff, people are... But then we all end up with abundance of stuff, and then stuff everywhere. No stuff. I don't want any more stuff. I'm trying to get rid of things.
That's right. And that's why we're buying nothing tomorrow.
Right. Trying to take awareness every day and limit our purchases. So here's a good song, because it's a good music day. It's a good day for me to shut up, I think. Just bleh, for me. But you should talk, David, more. But this song is a local musician, because it should be creative. And her name is Ora Kogan, and this song is called Manufactured Freedom.
Children making our new shoes, and I got lost in the rubble, trying to justify what I do, trying to make everyone around me believe that I live like they do, and I don't want to make any trouble. Much less than me, changed to our ways, and I don't want to make any trouble.
Get and spread the information about what's happening, and then we need to act and act and act.
There's a river.
Don't ask me what happened there. Sorry. It's my
ghost. Ghost in the board. Ghost in the board.
Right. What is this? Anyhow, that was Ora Kogan. Great singer.
Yeah, that was a beautiful song.
Yeah, so maybe I'll play another one of her songs after. It's 1:30. You're listening to 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio.
102.7 on the dial. Also on in the internet.
Yeah, cooperadio.org. So,
You were mentioning, Kelly, that just reading from the press release from Adbusters, I guess Buy Nothing Day actually did start here in Vancouver in 1992, and you were saying it was originally a Buy Nothing Week.
Well, the idea, somebody had come up with an idea for a Buy Nothing Week, yeah. But it was too overwhelming, and it was two separate people. I can't remember the guy called in last year.
Yeah, artist, it's Ted Dave, I guess, was the man that did it.
Oh. So anyhow, but you know, it's a concept. Many people don't buy anything every day, so it's not really.
I was kind of thinking of that too. You know, like when I was reading the press,
buy
nothing. You know, like a lot of people have buy nothing weeks and buy nothing months, and
Well, Adbusters is a little glossy. It's a, but you know.
But it just goes to show
think.
That
it's pretty glossy.
But then the thing is, too, I mean, it does start to get you thinking about the way that we do tend to live in North America compared to our place in the world, I guess.
Well, so my friend today, who was asking me what I'm doing with my creative life here, along with other things that were totally inappropriate, my friend totally crossed the boundaries on the bus today. Anyhow, but on the way, he's talking about all these creative things and asking me what I'm doing, and I'm like, I just don't want to put any more noise into the world. Like, that's my conflict right now, is that I want to use my creativity to support myself in a positive way, and I know there's ways to do it, but at the same time, it's just sort of adding noise. I guess I could find ways to make everything that I make sustainably, you know, but really, in the end, I'm still making a product. Am I sparking an idea? I like art that's just really transient myself. That's me personally. I know we're going to make things in earth and we're changing and using things properly in our whole.
So you're sort of more into sand sculptures on the beach kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know, and you let nature,
beautiful.
Let nature be the art.
Yeah, it does a fine job. But of course we want to imitate that, and we're creative beings, and we're created by the universe and the whole bit. You know,
but you also talk about awareness, and maybe you could combine the two.
That's my. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what a lot of people are trying to do these days. There's a lot of beautiful creativity out there happening that way. But you know, I don't know.
Well,
I'm confused. I'm really confused by it. I have like internal conflict over this.
Well, the thing is, I mean, that's a really good question. How can one, you know, one support oneself or one support one art without putting more material goods into the other otherwise cluttered society? So,
right. And well, I've been doing some graphic design, but it's an old computer and the hard drive's full, so I'm stuck now at this point. And I'll go buy an external hard drive to attach on. But you know, where was that made? And what's, you know, what am I making these images for? And where are they going to be displayed? And will I start using them to help to sell to other... Do I market them just for myself? Do I write the book? I mean, these are questions everybody's asking. I want to write a book. So then I write a book. Do I design and market that? Is it all on recycled paper? Does that make it okay? Oh, I'm carbon neutral. It's okay. Here's my ideas. Here's my thoughts. Maybe you want to buy them. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like, shut up already. And then I'm on the radio here talking. Sound resistance. Eckhart Tolle, please come and be my guest.
But the thing is, you're on the radio, you're talking into a microphone, so it's not like you're creating anything, except maybe a little bit of CO2.
So somebody calls here. Sometimes we have a very helpful caller. Last week after the show, she called in to talk about CO2 and climate change and said that really we need a lot of carbon in the air and it's okay. And it'll be okay, and it's a big scare. Maybe to some degree, you know, I think the carbon, I know the earth will take care of itself. I don't really have a big concern. I do and I don't. I'm concerned about the pain that gets passed along to other sentient beings. That's my concern. And trees and plants are sentient beings. So really everything, because the whole earth is one living organism. And so we need to take care of it. But at the same time, I know the earth will take care of itself. I totally lost my point again, but I remembered my point last week.
Yeah, there you go. No, like I can see your point in the sense that, and you're right. I mean, you know, we're a product of nature and we're not above nature.
So she was talking about carbon and saying it was actually okay. And she actually wanted to bring up the point of HAARP, which I've talked about HAARP before. I guess she wasn't listening. But HAARP's just some university it's going on in some university. It's some sort of military, I don't know. It's undercover military project. Who knows? Some people say it creates earthquakes and everything. So let's throw that out there. There's a phone call. It's probably her. Maybe no, it's the door. So anyhow, but it sends out, people think that, some people claim that the HAARP project really sends, I don't, can't remember what it's for. It measures some seismic activity or something. I don't know what it does.
I'm not really familiar with it.
I'm not a big conspiracy theorist sort myself, and I don't even like to promote it.
Well, anyways.
But anyhow, so there's somebody trying to get in this door, so it doesn't work.
Well, maybe we'll put a song on then.
But I'm thinking of the whales, because that's the thing. If you go to the Greenpeace website, onto their oceans page, you can get a link to... It shows what sonar does. I don't know if that's what HAARP is, but it's deep. There's a lot of military sonar that just totally wipes them out. Because it's waves. Everything's a wave, including me talking into the airwaves right now. That was my point.
And another thing.
Talk for a minute.
Okay. Another thing that harms whales and dolphins and other undersea creatures is oil exploration. Once again is back in the news thanks to Premier Gordon Harper. Yeah, well, they're all the same. On a trip back from Hong Kong, touting offshore oil and saying, Well, look at it. If you're blowing up stuff in the ocean, I'm sorry, but that's not, sustainable, and it's not, having a neutral footprint and being environmentally sound. You might not see it, but I mean, the oceans are so full of life. I mean, think about it, people. 75% of the earth is oceans, not land. In fact, when you think about it, intelligent life, why did you come on land where there's only 25% of the earth's surface you can live on? I would have stayed in the ocean if I was intelligent. So maybe the whales and the dolphins are the intelligent ones and we're the stupid ones.
Love us. We're not. We're beautiful creatures evolving. We just have some sort of disenchantment, some disharmony, some we're learning and growing. I don't know what's going on.
Well, like
we're learning.
We're evolving.
Right, and it's a tricky point. It's like, the collective consciousness, the active pituitary gland. I don't know, man. Something's happening. We're all, at this stage of... Our frontal lobe is pretty new. I don't really know too much about the brain. I haven't taken physiology or anything, but our frontal lobe is new and, who knows what's happening in there? But how many people are still in the other part of their brain, in the reptile part of the brain?
Well, and then the thing is, too, I mean, and that's what it is. It's just a change of consciousness. It's not that it's, any big thing. I mean, we just have to learn to get by with less. We have to learn that, it's not about, conforming nature to suit our desires. It's learning to nurture and live within nature's constraints and everything, directing our energy into improving the world and helping other creatures and being part of
growing
nature,
out of our amygdala.
Is that what it's called?
Well, that's the little reptile brain. That's where like the fear-based instincts come from, right? That's like the core down near the spine.
And a lot of it is, too, fear, and that's what the buttons they love to push is the fear buttons.
That's the fear brain. But it's good for survival instincts, but we really don't need that. So we have all this fear-based stuff going on right now, like, oh, we have to have secure Olympics, we have to send more troops to Afghanistan, don't drink the water. It's all scare-based tactics. Let's get out of the fear. You know, even in our personal lives, on personal levels, we push things away with fear. We create bad situations out of fear. So,
and fear also helps us to destroy community.
Love ourselves.
You know, I mean, that's another thing, too, is that...
So let's not be afraid, because there's, like, so many great people out there making really great and positive changes, and beautiful artists and musicians and creative flowing energy, and people just who are just doing their job, who are good people doing little good deeds here and there, the random acts of kindness thing. Small little deeds, but first take care of yourself, right? Be nice to yourself.
Be nice to yourself, and then you
mostly
can be nice to others.
So, okay, can we play another Ora Kogan song, because she's local and beautiful song? It's called All God's Children. I think it would be appropriate. As I kiss the microphone.
Economists have defined the economic health of a country by its gross domestic product, Trouble is, every time a forest falls, the GDP goes up. With every oil spill, the GDP goes up. Every time a cancer patient is diagnosed, the GDP goes up. Is this how we measure economic progress? Economists must learn to subtract.
Sits in his 37th floor, sweet and swivels to gaze down at the city he made me in. He allows me to stand and solicit graffiti until he needs the land I stand on. And I, in my darkened threshold, am pawing through my pockets the receipts, the bus schedules, urgent napkin poems, and matchbook phone numbers, all of which laundering is rendered pulpy and strange. Loose change, the key aspect. I got the answer here. I wrote it down somewhere. I just gotta find it. And somebody in their spray paint got too close. Somebody came on too heavy. Now look at me, mad ugly by the drooling letters. I was better off alone. Ain't that the way it is? They don't know the first thing, but you don't know that till they take the first swing. My fingers are red and swollen from the cold. I'm getting bold in my old age. So go ahead. Try the door, it doesn't matter anymore. No, the weak hearted or strong will we be kept alive until we're killed. He's up there. The ice is clinking in his glass. He sends us little pieces of paper. I don't ask, I just empty my pockets and wait. It's not fate, it's just circumstance. I don't fool myself with romance. I just live phone number, dusting them against my thighs and the mark of my pockets, which whisper history incessantly, asking me, where were you? I lower my eyes, wishing I could cry more and care less. Yes, it's true. I was trying to love someone again. I was caught carrying, bearing weight, but I love this city. This state, this country is too large, and who's ever in charge of there? Better take the elevator down and put more than change in our cup, or else we are coming up.
Okay, so that was Coming Up by Ani DeFranco. And,
So, Kelly, are you a fan of Christmas pantomime?
Am I a fan of Christmas pantomime?
Mark down December 15th, 16th, and 17th on your calendar, because the Church of Pointless Consumerism is coming into town.
Kind of like the Church of Bob.
Yeah, and it kind of ties into Buy Nothing Day, because...
Hello, Church of Bob members.
Yeah, there you go.
And the Church of Pointless Consumerism.
Well, the movers and shakers of the Workless Party will be putting on... the play at December 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Cambrian Hall. That's 215 East 17th at Main Street. And the show times are at 8 o'clock. And from what I've heard, you better get your advance tickets, which are $10 to $15 sliding scales. And they're available at the Veggie Resource Center, 2250 Commercial Drive. So
good
come
times.
And, yeah, come
That's
and see. Traveling evangelist, Peter Prophet, the prophet of prophet, along
Peter
with the gospel
prophet.
Choir.
Oh, the prophet of prophet.
The prophet of prophet.
I think that was my idea.
Was that your idea?
No,
there you go.
No, but I've had that idea.
But
no, everybody, prophet. There's false prophets out there that are profiting off profiting. So
oh,
that's
yeah.
funny. That's good. Someone's doing that.
Yeah,
but,
and there's
going
to be
what is
dancers?
False prophet? Everybody just giving their opinion. Dancers.
Dancers? Video? Oh, yeah. Like
track.
I said, the Workless Party is sparing. This is going to be... Just a phenomenal show. So, like I said, December 15th, 16th, and 17th, everybody get out to the Cambrian Hall on 17th and Main to see the Church of Pointless Consumerism.
So let's say hi to Conrad, too, because he's a hard-working work-lesser.
He is, yes.
And very hard-working work-lesser.
Yeah.
He's just got, like, so much intensely focused energy. It's amazing.
But at the same
very
time, he's...
positive energy.
But at the same time, he's having fun.
Exactly. So it's not work. He's doing what he loves, and
That's
his energy's
right.
really, really positive, which is great. So I wish I had a song to play for him.
And that's
we'll
the
just dedicate the whole show to people like him who do hard work and to him.
And who make it fun, because I think that's one of the big problems, that you hear so much doom and gloom. And, you know, it's not really that bad. I mean, we can turn this thing around. We can, you know, we can.
It just is.
Yeah. It's
turning,
you know,
turning around, turning, the sun turning.
You know, and changing ourselves and enjoying life more, making that more of our priorities rather than the pursuit of profit.
Right. Because people are accumulating mass, so they'll have enough to get to this place where they can just go, oh, I can relax now.
Well, what gets me, like, I guess I'm at a certain point in my life as I hit my middle 50s, and, you know, you see all the...
You left your work.
But
to pursue your own dreams a little while ago.
But then the thing is, you look at all these commercials about, will I have enough money to retire with? Well, will I have enough, you know, material possessions? Well, my thing is, will I have an earth? And I would rather work towards making sure I have an earth to retire on than making sure that I have money to retire with.
So we're here and we're aware. So let's dance through. Let's remember that we are bliss.
And,
now, and maybe we never knew that yet. Maybe it's not, well, maybe, I don't know, somewhere in our stardust. We know that's getting metaphysical again. But we are, at our true nature is good. Our true nature is good.
Well,
we know, because when we feel good, we know that's usually right. Not just, you know, instant gratification, because that always leads to dissatisfaction and people are constantly trying to fill that. But if we can actually come to our true selves and our goodness and find that in ourselves, we feel a need less to fill it with other stuff.
And the thing is, if you look, you know, if you look at everybody, look at your own life. I mean, how much? I mean, look around. I mean, you know, you ride a bus with a whole bunch of people, but there's no conflict. You walk on the streets, and in most cases, there's no conflict. I mean, conflict is the exception, not the rule.
Okay, here's my confession of the week. Now,
uh-oh.
Since we're talking about people, it's a confession. I go on Craigslist.
So what?
I look on Craigslist. I read on Craigslist.
Craigslist is great.
It's great, but I, you know, sometimes it's terrible. Sometimes the rants and rave sections is sometimes so disgusting. But anyhow, here's a good thing on Craigslist. Somebody put I am, and then their age number, and then a whole bunch of stuff that's going on in their life. And I read a whole bunch of these, like about 20 of them people have put on in the day. They're really short paragraphs, but it'll say, I am 50 and I am blah, 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 happily married and two children and whatever, dog and working here. Well, there's a whole bunch, 20 different stories. They're all completely different, but they're all, basically everybody's going through their own shit. It's cool. And after you read it, you feel have a lot more empathy for people. Just seeing these are just regular people sitting home like you on their computer,
mm-hmm.
you know, spilling themselves, saying I didn't actually put anything on. I felt like it, but I didn't.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I think that's a great thing about the internet too. It allows
right,
everybody. It's an important tool, because it allows people to get together. It allows people to express themselves. It allows people to, you know, it allows lots of ideas and lots of solutions to float out there.
So I guess everything can have a negative or positive. It's just what we do with it.
Sure.
So we should stay then neutral with it and do the positive.
Or attempt to find balance.
The one that's the least resistance, you know, because even in the law of physics, everything will take the path of least resistance. Everything, always, the path of least resistance. So obviously in life, and that doesn't mean don't make effort. You might have to make intense effort. But obviously, if it's something that you're passionate about, it's going to be the path of least resistance.
But that's the whole thing, and that's what the consumer society thrives on, is
right.
making
creating,
you know, making consumerism the path of least. It's easier to accede to it than it is to fight
it. Oh, you're right, David. Oh my, you're right, because it's easier to go buy a box of, you know, takeout, stir it up, throw it in a pot or something. I don't know. Than to cook a decent meal. So we have this quick convenience. Not that kind of path of least resistance, because if we actually do true cost accounting, we realize that's not the path of least resistance, because then we have to look at the packaging and the energy for the packaging and the way the food was produced and then all the amount of people that were... Every time I sit down and eat a meal with my kids, I thank all the people that brought it to me.
That's very
good.
And
the earth and the sun. But, you know, it's a huge journey, but I try and get things really local. You know,
yeah,
but
and the thing is, people are, you know, if you look at it in the last 10, 15, 20 years, people are aware of this a lot more, and things
right.
are changing for the better. And you know, I don't know. I advise against despair. I mean, you know,
no, that doesn't do anyone good. And there's some people going through despair
and
personal,
you know,
life crisis. We all come to our walls. We all come to our
Well, what I try to do is, you know, is
there's no breakdown, only breakthrough.
That's right. And don't try to look for the big things and the big changes and the big niceness. Look at the small niceness, the small changes.
That's from my guru.
There you go.
Hey.
Let's keep talking, David. Someone's calling. It's a fan.
Well, what I'll do is I'll make a few more announcements here. Tomorrow night, that's Friday, November 24th at 7 p.m. at the Dogwood Center, 706 Clark Drive, is an event, Cafe Ribaldi. Delicious food, refreshments will be served, followed by a panel discussion, live music. This is being put on by Haiti Solidarity BC, and to discuss the Bolivarian Revolution, what Chavez's upcoming election landslide will mean for the hemisphere. And that's being organized once again by Solidarity BC, Haiti Solidarity BC, and the contact info is 778-858-5179.
Okay, so politics is kind of... So Adrienne Carr's leaving BC politics now. She's joining the federal. That's news for anybody, if anybody cares. I'm not a big political junkie anymore. I've ran for the Green Party a couple times, and I'm, you know, politics is great, but no, I don't really actually like politics. I think we need to abolish sort of names of groups that will represent us all, because really they represent special. Any group, and I know the Greens are great, and Work Class Party is awesome, and things like that are really cool, and I know so many people that put so much hard energy into it. So maybe it's just not for me to be political, because I just see it as divisive. No matter what, it's divisive. I think we should just have a council of all beings. You know, maybe that's idealistic and utopian and naive, but it's not. It just takes us to do it. Let's have everybody represented. Everyone.
Well, actually, what that's called is anarchism. So.
Oh.
And it is a legitimate political philosophy. You know, the idea of seizing control of your own life, and that's one thing that's happening in Venezuela, is that you know, now workers are seizing control of the places that they work. Peasants are seizing control of the farms that they work and are running them, you know, to the benefit of society and benefit of the people, you know, rather than just for profit. So, like I said, there's a lot of good things happening.
So how about the big mad rush to these Xbox, PS3, is that like crazy? And I read their crap, they're terrible, and they're supposed to come with connector cables, they don't even come with connector cables, and the games suck. And
well, what I liked was the people that were hiring the homeless to stand in line for them. I guess if you're going to be homeless, then you know, you're homeless, you
hold
get kicked
my
off
spot
the street.
In line, you're
yeah,
out here
so
anyhow,
the homeless
I'll
people
pay
them. Actually got to be able to put a tent up on a sidewalk and have a dry place to sleep for the night rather than. You know, maybe what we should do is, you know, instead of having, you know, maybe that's how we can get housing, you know, get outside of the Sears or in Granville or you know, Future Shop or one of these big stores, just start a lineup and have a bunch of tents and, hey, I'm in line for whatever type of thing. And,
yeah.
You know?
I don't know about... The homeless thing is another thing. It's all over downtown here, especially with the Olympics coming.
Oh yeah, and it's getting worse, and it affects everybody. I mean, housing prices are going up, rents are going up. I mean, you know, people are being forced further and further out. I mean,
I know a huge percentage of my income goes towards rent, like over 60%, possibly 70, almost 70.
And the thing is, you're not alone in that. There's more and more Canadians that's what's happening to them. And
there's not really anything affordable anywhere around. You'd have to move like substantially far away, like maybe 6 hours to get something that drops substantially.
And then, a friend of mine has been looking for real estate up in Powell River, and you know, real estate agent sent her listing for a townhouse for $279,000 in a condo development. So, hey, it's all over.
Good times roll.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really care to own anything. I don't really care.
So I think we'd have to move to find affordable housing. You'd have to go to someplace like rural Saskatchewan or maybe down east in the Atlantic provinces or something like there. Maybe that's where we're all going to end up. The Republic of Newfoundland.
It's all beautiful. It's beautiful here. It's a lovely day.
Yeah, it is a lovely day.
I'm feeling a little cuckoo still. So I'm not on track here, and I think we should play one more song. I think we should, David.
Sounds good, Kelly.
I don't know what you want to play.
What sounds good to you?
Oh, Shallow Water, because we were talking about water.
There you go.
And this, I played this group last week. This is Lal, and they were here. But, you know, I don't have a huge CD collection, so if you don't like it, too bad.
She's not.
That's not
more.
It. We're going to listen to Pete Seeger instead.
Well, Pete Seeger saved the Hudson
okay,
River.
Okay, whatever.
Still about water.
Have no idea how that happened.
The scales turn, the swimmers turn, the lovers burn. Peace, may the generals learn when I'm far away. Well, may the world go, the world go. Swing round and round when I'm far away. Well, may the world go, the world go, the world go. Well, may the world go when I'm far away. Well, may the world go, the world go, the world go. Well, may the world go when I'm far away. Clear may the streams flow, blue above, green below when I'm far away. Well, may the world go, the world go, the world go. Well, may the world go when I'm far away.
Yeehaw! That's a good one to end on.
That was great. That was better than what I had planned.
So what are you planning for tomorrow night, Kelly?
Deep and pod meditation.
Well, if you're doing deep and pod meditation, for those who aren't doing deep and pod meditation, tomorrow night is the last Friday of the month, and we all know what that means. It's critical mass
of the universe
on the Georgia side of the art gallery between 5 and 6. And after the ride, there's the Stop Highway Dance Party at the Anza Club at 8th and Ontario.
That will be great. I should get out, but I just have a sense that.
Well, this is $10, $5 if you arrive with the mask.
Crying and blubbering and hugging everyone.
Oh, you got Ned Jacobs and the Falcon, Weakening Willow, some jazzy thing, Barricade Burlesque with Little Woo, Teaspoon, the Masala Mixer with BPM, and the Sugar Dolls at East West Odyssey, fusing funk, dancehall, hip-hop, reggaeton, and Bhangra with hints of breaks and D&B. So come
nice.
And support the battle against the highway. Don't forget www.gatewaysucks.org. And tomorrow night at the Anza Club is a good time.
That's good stuff.
So
now we're going to go into 411 Seniors. We have 1 minute left, and I just want to make the point that I remembered last week when I was talking about that movie where the girl forgot. She said she she's seen things in dot to dot and random, like a starry sky. Nothing happened in order. That's how the world looks. Well, may the world go to you all, no matter how you see it.
And to our American listeners, happy Thanksgiving.
Be grateful for the moment. Everyone in the world, we're all connected. Namaste.
And buy nothing.
Give free love.
There you go. Peace, love.
And happiness. Om.
Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded, with information that will never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media distorted. We come and listen and support it.
Broadcasting live from unceded Coast Salish territory, Co-op Radio is located in the heart of the beautiful and vibrant downtown Eastside community of Vancouver. Like Michael Frante sings, we are listener-supported. CFRO 102.7 FM, the People's Station.
Never pre-recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media distorted. We come and listen and support it.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Kennedy, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to the 411 Seniors Radio Show here on Co-op Radio 102.7 on your FM dial. A thousand thanks to the people who push the buttons and help us to get on Co-op Radio. And as a consequence of their generosity, you are about to hear a wonderful interview with Grace Schenkeveld Wong. Grace is involved in the Head Tax Family Society of Canada, and she has a very interesting tale to tell. Please stay tuned.
Folks, this is Pat Brown from the 411 Senior Center, and today we're going to be talking to Grace Wong in regards to the Chinese head tax. And I'm sure she knows an awful lot about it, and I'm quite interested in it. They're having a meeting on Sunday, Saturday. And I'll let you say where, because I can't say all that.
Well, we are having our Head Tax Family Society of Canada meeting this Saturday, November the 25th, at 11 o'clock at the Chinese Cultural Center at the Dr. David Lam Hall. The address is 50 East Pender in Chinatown.
What about a phone number in case anybody wants to?
I'm really sorry. I guess they can phone my house.
No, just sometimes people forget where they're going to go.
Really sorry. I didn't look that up.
Yeah, don't worry about
it. Well, 50 West Pender is good enough.
Yes, 50.
Good.
No, 50 knows. East Pender.
Yeah. Roger's going to send them all the wrong place.
Everybody knows where that is.
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Grace, how about telling us a little bit about, you know, how you got involved with this?
Sure.
And what's going to be happening with
sure.
it, if you have any idea.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm actually a granddaughter and a great-granddaughter of head taxpayers. I mean, the history that I do know is that my great-grandfather came in the late 1800s, and my grandfather, Mr. Wong Hoi, he came in 1919, and he paid the $500 head tax. Now, unfortunately, he was never able to bring my father or my grandmother here to enjoy a proper family life in Canada. All I can tell you is that my father says that in his life, he's actually seen his father really about three times. He says once when he was made... No, sorry, I guess twice. Because he says once he... when he was 6 years old, and then the next time he saw his father again was when he was 41 years old.
Oh, for goodness sake. Now, did they come out and work on the railroad? That's where
No, actually, the head tax was actually brought about after the railroad completed. Because at that time, I guess the government of Canada, the BC... labor market in Canada wasn't very, very favorable. So they were really, really trying to discourage people, especially the Chinese people, from coming to Canada. And it's actually really a racist legislation because it was only targeted at the Chinese people. People from Europe, they were encouraged to immigrate while Chinese people weren't.
Grace, Roger Alford here. The head tax, as you say, was put into place strictly on the basis of racism.
That's right.
I mean, there was some feeling in those years that they didn't want people who weren't white.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, and I think that's the bottom line. I mean,